Now, if I say to you, leotard, top hat, Union Jack, and cries of easy, easy, you're a person of a certain age, and you remember the golden age of British wrestling, when Big Daddy bestrode it like a colossus, along with an even greater colossus, giant haystacks.
Incredible.
Between 16 and 20 million people would tune in for some of their bigger bouts. They fought each other many times over the years, and now author Stephen Bell has told their story in his new book, Big Daddy versus Giant Haystacks. Hi, Stephen.
Hiya, guys. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure. Yeah. So, look, you don't look that old. So
no.
You were probably very young, unlike myself and Andy, when these two were in their pomp. So what was the allure of sort of writing this story?
Well, it evolved in my mind over a lot of years, to be honest. It all started because I'm originally from a small mining town of Featherston, and I don't know if you guys remember it happening or if any listeners remember it happening, but Mal King Conkirker was one of Big Daddy's most common opponents. It was also from Featherston. My dad knew Mal. I got to know his daughter. And he's the unfortunate wrestler that actually died in the ring with Big Daddy. Big Daddy performed his Big Daddy splash on him, and it triggered off a heart attack. Now, it was deemed no fault of Shirley Crabtree, Big Daddy. Ultimately, he went to a tribunal. A doctor decreed that Mal was going to have the heart attack sooner rather than later anyway because of his age and his physical condition. But that was kind of the final nail in the coffin for British wrestling as it was known then. And that's one of the things that brought it crashing down. But I started doing quite a lot of research into Mal. I was thinking about a project based around Mal's life and his tragic ending and how it tied into the end of this British institution that had been.
Because
wrestling.
Big Daddy, Shirley Crabtree kind of lost heart. He was never really the same again after that. Understandably, yeah, it's a tragic thing to happen. And Haystacks was the kind of Andre the Giant. If people only follow American wrestling, don't know much about the British version, he was that kind of Andre the Giant figure, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, when Shirley got huge celebrity status as this Big Daddy character that everybody sort of fell in love with, everybody felt like I could relate to him as this working class hero. All he needed, really, the final piece of the jigsaw was this huge monster that he could try and overcome. And so it was Shirley's brother Max who was the promoter at the time, and he saw Giant Haystacks rightly as this perfect nemesis that and the rivalry went on for more than a decade. And as you say, they was battling each other all the time, but it were always with some kind of issue going on around it. It might be in a tag team or some kind of messy ending that never gave the fans the full clarification, the full clean ending that they needed. And he dragged it on and dragged it on, did Max, this issue for a long time until they finally had the big blow-off match, as they called it, at Wembley Stadium, Wembley Arena, Wembley Arena in 1981. And it was amazing, really, the story that I've created is built around sort of three elements, and that's each of these two guys sort of semi-autobiographical about the two individuals, Martin Ruane, who became Giant Haystacks, Shirley Crabtree, who became Big Daddy, and the British wrestling phenomenon itself. Because all three of them threads, which start off completely separate, sort of slowly merge together, and they all come together finally at Wembley Arena there, as you say, almost 20 million people tuning in on TV.
Haystacks never won, did he? So
He wasn't. I mean, the story was that Haystacks wasn't allowed to win, was he? So that was always.
Is this the one where he throws him out of the ring and he can't get back in? Is that the fight?
Yeah, he goes flying over the top rope, crashing through a table before wrestlers going crashing through tables were a thing, let alone 6'10", 40 stone wrestlers. So yeah, I think that was to give the definitive final ending that the story needed. You hear people talk about that story, that multi-year long story, is kind of a masterpiece that hooked so many people into wrestling, so many viewers. And it never got back to that. It quickly fell off. And I think that the problem was they tried to cling on to them glory years for too long. the presentation got old and tired during the 80s, and then along came Vince McMahon and the American WWF with this glitzy, glamorous presentation and these huge, almost cartoon-like superhero figures.
More athletic, to be fair, than these two.
Well, yeah. I mean, some of them were some great wrestlers. Remember Burt Royal, Vic Faulkner, Mike Marino? They were great athletic fighters in the British scene. It's interesting. We've been lucky enough over the years to speak to some of the legends of American wrestling when they've been over here promoting events, including the late Hulk Hogan and John Cena. We spoke to Kurt Angle, haven't we?
Mick McManus, we spoke to.
Oh, yeah, of the Brits. But of the Americans, we've always been really impressed with their knowledge of these guys and of British wrestling and a kind of reverence about it. You wouldn't think, they'd be kind of lost in their own world, but you wouldn't think they would know some of these guys. And I suppose it's part of it was because Hulk Hogan told us he was due to fight Haystacks, who was calling himself the Loch Ness Monster, wasn't he? But it never quite happened in the end, did it?
No, that were a shame, really, because that's one of the things that's kind of tarnished the legacy of Giant Haystacks. He went over there once he was far too old, far too out of shape, and as I found out during the research of the book, he was actually ill at the time, but he got given this opportunity by WCW World Championship Wrestling to go over there and got paid a lot of money to ultimately have this big match with Hulk Hogan, as you say. But he was so out of shape by then that he couldn't quite muster. They'd got him lined up for a series of matches to sort of build him up in the eyes of the American fans. And them matches weren't going well, shall we say, to the point where they kind of pulled the idea and he had to come back to the UK.
You say that, often we think they kind of park any animosity outside the ring, these wrestlers, but they got on well initially, but they did fall out, the pair of them. They didn't get on in later life, did they, Daddy and Haystacks?
I think they were just very different personalities, really, and there was always this theory that Big Daddy had been given some preferential treatment with his family effectively running the British wrestling scene at that time. They clung on to the Big Daddy at the top of the bill for far too long at the expense of everyone else. And it really soured a lot of the other wrestlers against the Crabtrees in general, I think, is what happened. They were all sort of happy when the train and the machine was rolling on perfectly well and it was fetching in an awful lot of work. They all seemed happy with it. But once that work dried up, Greg Dyke pulled it off ITV and the whole thing came crumbling down. And in hindsight then, the Crabtrees kind of got the blame for that.
Yeah. Why was he called Shirley? I always wondered that.
Well, wasn't it a bit of a family name? Hadn't it? His dad had played, somebody in the family played rugby league. That's right.
His dad was called Shirley, and apparently at the time, in the late 1800s, Shirley was more commonly a guy's name, a female name, but that changed during his father's upbringing. He got bullied. His father got badly bullied based on his name being Shirley. And I know it sounds awfully cruel now, but the story goes that he gave his firstborn son the name Shirley because he thought what kind of wanted him to go through the same thing and toughen him up, which I don't think that's parenting 101 these days.
I don't think it is.
And like we said, there was rugby league in the family, and we used to chat to Earl, the former Huddersfield Giants player, who was his nephew, of course. Well, look, we wish you well with the book, Stephen. For those that don't know about this period, it will be a bit of a history lesson to them, seen through the eyes of two of the biggest stars. It's called Big Daddy versus Giant Haystacks, a super heavyweight story, published by Pitch, written by Stephen Bell. Thank you, Stephen.
Thanks, guys.